superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Now available on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
All rise. Here comes
The Rich Eisen Show.
It's never enough. Yeah. Enough.
At work, I play it all day, every day.
You guys are the bomb.
I'm thrilled to have calling into this show a star of the film Tenet, which is in theaters near you here in Los Angeles. A theater near us right now, unfortunately, is closed. But for those who are listening on the Mightier 1090, our local radio affiliate here in Southern California, San Diego and Orange County, it's opened up internationally. I think, didn't Tom Cruise like shoot video of him going to see Tenet in London or something like that? Yeah. Oh, my gosh. The Christopher Nolan film that I cannot wait to see. And I'm hearing such great things about, starring John David Washington here on The Rich Eisen Show. How are you, John David?
I am fantastic. What's happening?
I am pleased to have you on this program. There's so many different ways to go, obviously, film and TV. But I'm going to start first with a night at NFL Network in 2006 that I had.
Okay.
I got a call because, you know, as the host of NFL Network, hey, tonight, is it possible to have somebody come over and watch the St. Louis Rams preseason game because he can't get it at home? And I'm like, who wants to come? And the answer was Denzel Washington. And so your dad came to NFL Network to watch you run the ball for a preseason game because he couldn't get it at home. That happened.
Wow. I've never heard that story before.
That's a fact. Wow. That's a fact.
Wow. 2006. Man, yeah, I was in St. Louis. That's it. Yes. That makes sense.
What was that like for you? What were you trying to get hook up with the Rams back then?
Well, like every young athlete in the NFL, you want to start, you want to make a career for yourself. I just wanted an opportunity to run the ball. Coming from a historically black college, I thought that I felt like I had the entire campus on my shoulders. Everybody was depending on me to make it because not a lot of student athletes from Morehouse did. So my first run in the preseason game against the Colts, I ran for, I think it was like a 9 yards from my own end zone. We were like on the inch yard line. That was like the highlight of my career. And I'll get mad at myself because if I break a tackle, I probably could have gone for like 50. I would have got hawked though because I didn't have to break quick speed. But I'm actually trying to find that clip somehow. But I thought though after that run, I'd have more opportunities. I felt like, you know, that was going to get me going, and it did earn me 2 years as a practice squad member. But I never got to play. But you know, I wanted to start. I wanted that opportunity. I wanted to play and go to the Hall of Fame someday.
Well, I mean, you still hold the Morehouse record for career rushing yards, just a yard shy of 30. And so are you telling me that you're hoping to break in here, you get a rep in a preseason game, which means the world, right?
Yep.
And it starts from the half inch, your own half inch, like you're standing in your own end zone, literally?
Can you believe that? Exactly. I'm like, of all the scenarios, you know, and it was the fourth quarter, the Colts, you know, we were against the Colts, and they're like, all right, you're up. This is your rep. I was like, are you kidding me? And then they call a inside zone play. I'm like, this is going to be a safety. I'm going to get fired. This is it, you know?
Right.
And I end up breaking it. So it was, yeah, that is how I started my career.
My gosh. And then so then the Rhine fire. So I might have actually called one of your games because I called some NFL Europe games in like 2007 and beyond. So you went off. You lived in Germany, and you kept it going. You kept the dream going, correct, John David?
I tried as much as I could from the NFL Europa to the UFL. Played for Coach the late Denny Green with Dante Culpepper as our quarterback for a couple years there. I kept the dream alive. There's a couple players that made it from the UFL. Sendejo, the safety, he's still in the league, I believe. There's some guys that got some good looks, some real looks from the UFL. So I try to keep the dream alive. My first start, every time I got an opportunity, I made the best of it. My first start in the UFL, I rushed for $128 and a touchdown, got player of the week. So, with my opportunities, the ones that were given to me, I took advantage of. You know, and actually, it's interesting watching the NFL now. I couldn't imagine coming out of Morehouse, not getting the reps because of COVID, not getting the proper looks because of a condensed, or no preseason games, really. How much harder that is, how much more difficult that is to make a team. You know, so my shout out to those guys that are, holding fast and still believing in themselves.
John David Washington, we'll talk about Tennant and more in a second. But so who was your running back growing up? Who were you growing up saying, this is who I want to be like, this is what I want to do?
Definitely early days because I was a little chubby kid with good feet. I was Jerome Bettis, Natron Means, nice. Bam Morris. I love guys like that.
Bam Morris. I love that.
Remember Bam Morris?
Yeah. Of course.
I remember Bam Morris.
Yeah, Natron Means Business. I remember that, of course, here in Southern California.
And then the Ironhead Haywood, I love guys like that were heavy and yet can move.
Okay. Well, I would just say this, John David. Obviously, everything has worked out very well. you have found your mark, no question about it, and you are great in everything that you do. What in the world was it like shooting Tenet? I cannot wait to see this film. It is, a tour de force from anybody who has seen it, that it is something that needs to be seen on a big screen. What was this like for you, John David?
It's interesting. I haven't talked about that preseason story in a long time. So thinking about it now, I guess it was sort of the same feeling going in. I felt like I was in Christopher Nolan camp, right? Yes. But instead of being an undrafted free agent, I was a first round draft pick. So I felt still a lot of pressure. I put that off to be the best I could, and learning all the fight sequences. And our movie deals with the world of inversion. So everything I'm used to doing forward, advancing the ball forward, fighting forward, momentum forward, all that is reversed. Down is up, left is right. Defending yourself is offense. So it was an incredible experience. I had the confidence because of given my background in the athletic field. But this pushed me to new limits, took me to new heights. It exceeded my expectations working alongside Christopher Nolan, which he made me feel like. He made me feel like a teammate, like a colleague, more than just a actor for hire. And, I think he's the Lombardi of the directing game. I think he's one of the greatest to ever do it. And I felt that we accomplished something special, something very unique. And it's important, I think, for people to know that for 2.5 hours to go to the movie theater and forget about everything, all your problems, is a blessing. It's a luxury. I think it's worth going to the theaters for.
And again, to play the role of the protagonist, literally, that is the role. And an espionage role as well. This had to be something. Look, we all grew up wanting to be in the lead spy of a movie, whether it's James Bond or not. For you to be able to play a role like this in a film, as you say, the first overall draft choice. That is remarkable. And I can't wait to see it. I truly can't, John David.
I appreciate it. I can't wait for you to see it. It really is incredible.
Absolutely. And so also being a draft choice of Spike Lee, that's also got to be pretty damn cool as well. How did you prepare for that role? I assume you spoke to the guy who you were portraying in Black Klansman, correct?
Absolutely. The process with Spike Lee is a little different. There is the Nolan experience, and then there is the Spike Lee experience.
Yes.
he literally called me up, told me to read the book, not asked me, told me to.
Yep.
And it always felt like this was going to happen. We were going to work. It never felt like, how do you like it? He might have asked, did you like the book? But I don't even think he cared if I said no, because he wanted me to play Ron Stallworth. To play Ron Stallworth. It was a role of a lifetime. The fact that he's a living person, Ron Stallworth, who's alive and well to this day, was a great luxury and a benefit to have him as somebody I can go to. And a lot more pressure than maybe even the protagonist, because he's still alive. But I was able to access him. He was very kind and generous with his information, Ron Stallworth was. And it was a great honor, a tremendous honor to be able to portray him and a film like this and what he did in his life. I think he's a true American hero.
No doubt.
But Spike is something else. He's also one of the greatest coaches of all time. Has his own style, like no one has his own style, and I was lucky to I sound like an athlete now, to play for them both.
And I'm just going to take a guess here that you're probably not a Knick fan. Maybe growing up here on the left coast. But force you to root for the Knicks on the set in any way, shape, or form, John David?
Ironically enough, check this out. Yes, mm-hmm. I am a Laker fan for life. Showtime Lakers life.
Figured that.
I even have them. I have them as the greatest team, even over the Shaq and Kobe years. But I actually am a Knicks fan too. I live in Brooklyn, and the reason I'm a Knicks fan is because of Spike Lee. If you ever attend anybody that can attend a game with Spike Lee, yes. Whether it be a Yankee game or a Knicks game, it'll change your whole life. It'll change how you look at sports. I mean, being in Madison Square Garden on the floor with Nick the great Spike Lee is like an experience unlike any other. It's unparalleled.
No, I grew up in Staten Island. The Knicks have just—they've beaten it out of me because they're so damn terrible, man. I just can't handle it anymore. But that's what I loved on Oscar night: Sam Jackson giving Spike grief about the Knicks as he's standing about to hand him the Oscar. That was truly—that was.
Wasn't that cool? Yeah.
That was. Before I let you go, John David, the sports figure that you met on the set of Ballers that you were actually pretty excited to meet, or anybody who cameoed on that show, you got a good story from that?
There's a couple. I mean, I didn't get to meet Tim Brown, but he had a cameo. Actually, there's a story, quick story that I'm very proud of. We were shooting a pilot with the great Peter Berg, who also believed in me early and taught me a lot about this industry. I had a friend of mine who I played with, Steven Jackson, in St. Louis,
sure.
who came to visit me in Miami. I was just like, come on down, hang out on set. And Peter Berg, he's so crazy. He had him just in the show. He just put him in. Improvised, and he was wearing all the clothes he already had. He had his own jewelry, and he ended up making the pilot and made the promo. You know, so like that was pretty cool. That Steven Jackson, he wasn't prepared to go on screen, but he's a natural, and he did it, and he made the pilot. So anybody ever watches the first episode of Ballers, that was not written in the script.
He's a great.
I think the scene where he's talking about an elephant.
Yeah,
about an elephant.
Yeah.
It's hilarious.
He's a great human being. That's Steven Jackson, John David. And again, the fact that he, you know, I assume you just crossed paths when you were trying to make the Rams, and he befriended you and stayed in touch with you. I love that guy. I love that
yeah,
guy.
Yeah, he's like a big brother to me. Yeah, he's a tremendous human being.
Well, congrats on everything that's happened for you and with you. Tenet, I cannot wait till, you know, obviously COVID allows me to go see it in the theater. Again, mm-hmm. folks here within the sound of my voice in San Diego and Orange Counties, go check out Tenet, opened internationally. It is a tour de force, and you are welcome here anytime, John David Washington. Thanks for the call.
I appreciate it.
Right back at you. You got it. That's John David Washington, at John David Washington on Instagram. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with GEICO. GEICO makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. And it's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's GEICO easy. Visit GEICO.com today. That's GEICO.com.
Support for this podcast comes from Pluto TV. Need an escape? Drop into Pluto TV for a world of free TV. Stream hundreds of channels and thousands of movies and shows all for free. Yeah, free. No subscriptions, no fees. Imagine 24/7 channels of Narcos, CSI, Star Trek, Survivor, and everything else from hit movies to binge-worthy TV shows, the latest news, live sports, comedy, and more. What are you waiting for? Download the free Pluto TV app for Android, iPhone, Roku, and Fire TV and start streaming now. Pluto TV. Drop in, watch free.
Okay. This gent has got his own podcast now, Two in the Bush podcast, along with Sasha Boggs, available wherever you get your podcasts. Drops every Monday. Our buddy Tom Arnold back here on The Rich Eisen Show. How are you, Thomas?
I'm good, buddy. How you doing, man? How are you?
I am doing great. I am doing better for talking to you.
Well, that's good. Was your show on TV
I don't know. With NBCSN, there's people playing soccer. There's people biking in France.
I see biking.
This like
fast forward biking. Yeah, maybe I put it in fast forward.
When was the last time you went on a? What was the last time you rode a bike, Tom?
I 2 days ago with my kid's little bike. I tried to prove I could do it, so he should get on it.
Okay,
yeah.
And
a lot of that.
So your father of the year is what you're saying. You did a father.
Yeah, I really am. Well, I don't know. I kept him out pretty late, moving my assistant in a pretty bad neighborhood. So baby father of the year.
Okay, fantastic.
Had him go down and start the car for me down in Koreatown.
Okay.
Get the car ready to go. But pretty much father of the year.
You are that. I understand that. We were going down memory lane. Mike Del Tufo was going down memory lane about Best Damn Sports Show, period. Tom.
Yeah, I heard that. I want to help fill in some information there for you.
Okay.
I think he was talking about the Jacksonville Super Bowl.
Okay.
If I'm not right, and we went live
on Fox,
the big network,
on Big Fox, on Big Fox. You were normally
our biggest opportunity ever.
Yep.
And what they did is they pushed a button in L.A. and it was the wrong piece of tape.
Yep.
It was a piece of tape, the practice piece, where we went down, and then Sal started saying, God, blanket, 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 you stupid people who go to church on Sunday, because it was Sunday morning before the Super Bowl, and you guys are stupid enough to, we're here. You know, it was just messy. We were laughing.
Get out.
It was a tape we weren't going to use, and that's what happened. And then, so we played that wrong tape, and the people, especially in the area there, they're Jacksonville, Florida.
Of course. Anywhere, Tom.
I guess it was in America.
Yeah.
Yeah, went to America. So they got a call because all the big wigs are on a boat down there.
Yes.
And it was our one opportunity to maybe take the show and move it up a little bit. And there was just all those swear words about the stupid people that go to church. They're very sensitive. And, we had such a great time. We were down there all week. And what I remember the most about the game was it was a tight game. And Donovan McNabb was quarterback, obviously, for the Eagles.
Right.
And he was very sick. I mean, he was very, out of his mind and vomiting.
Yep.
And they didn't think about the game. And I was down right on the field. And then Tom Brady... we're going, oh, my gosh, what can we get on the field? What can we get on the field? And I couldn't see the clock, and my Bardia,
Bardia Shireas, the Bardia, producer. Yep.
Yeah, he goes, go now, go. And I ran out there, and he just got tackled for what would be the last play. They're going to run it out. And I got on him, literally got on top of him. There's still 7 seconds left. So I go, how do you feel? I had no questions. How do you feel? I never did. And he gets up, he starts talking, he goes, oh, this is so fantastic. He starts to unfurl his body, and then he looks at my microphone, then he looks at me and realizes who it is, and then he just kind of pushes my mic out of the way. Where are the real journalists? And just walks off, but wait, and it was very funny for our show.
Wait, so hold on a second. Tom Arnold, you're saying that when Tom Brady became, to date, the last quarterback in the NFL to win back-to-back championships, something that Patrick Mahomes hopes to do later on. The first person he saw with time still on the clock in Jacksonville was Tom Arnold with a Best Damn Sports Show period Mike Cube in front of him. That happened.
I got in very bad trouble for the NFL. You're supposed to do that. And I was in the pile. I got down there, stuck my bike in. Like, this is a I had no question to ask you either. I never did. I see people, I go, and then I remember we went to the locker rooms, and they saw Andy Reid come out of his locker room, and he started walking towards us down the long hall, and Barty is like, you got to ask him something. I'm like, I am no way. What? He just lost the Super Bowl. What do I ask him? Did you lose? How does it feel? They're like, yeah. I go, not as of that. No way. This is embarrassing. I'm going to look at the wall, but let him walk by me. I'm not going to ask him. He must be so upset. No. And they got by me, and I go, hey, I talked to your wife. She's really nice. And you'll say something. It became the awkward thing because we also had to get out the door, which was on the other side of him.
Yeah.
So it was a long hall walk. And I'm like, your wife's really nice and better. Okay. All right. You're so dumb. And, but it's really funny. But, and he's also a very nice guy. I was so happy when Andy Reid won the Super
Me
Bowl.
Me too.
A lot of memories came back, you know.
Well, look, and, at least, but at least in what probably has to be to date, even, you know, obviously getting let go by your team or mutually parting your ways, your team, as he did in Philadelphia, he knew, he had to know that there was something else coming up for him, so he had to be fine there. The lowest professional moment for him has to be losing the Super Bowl. At least you were there to help soften that blow, Tom.
Yeah. You know, so he still practiced well. I mean, that's a basic thing. And he's still in the Super Bowl, though. Being in the Super Bowl is a big deal.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I think.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. So who is the best? So you got a good Deacon story from back in the day?
Well, Deacon Jones, Deacon, you know, he was there for day one, man. And he was, you know, Deacon was always bitter because they didn't count sacks when he first started.
That's right.
And Deacon was very – he had narcolepsy. But it wasn't like official narcolepsy. But he did. He was tired, and so he went to sleep a lot. he literally went to sleep a lot. But he's one of those men that could go to sleep a lot. Like, you know, they could just go to sleep, and it wasn't like it was good because everybody needs to rest. But he went to sleep a lot. He just was one of those guys that had that ability, and a lot of times it was on the show. And but he was also, he had the energy. He'd get up and, you know, we had to do, since when somebody, you know, those slave shows, when somebody has the ability to do one thing.
Yes.
And he had the ability to slap people at the side of the head. And so, you know, I got slapped a lot at the side of the head. He had giant bony fingers.
Huge.
He loved to do that. But we did wear helmets. We did it the first time. They got such a pain to put the helmet on. We had to recreate that hand slap. And then I think towards the end of, like, the third month, he realized, oh, Michael Irvin's going to come in and replace me. So then he, you know, became a little indignant, which I don't blame him.
Yes.
And then the hand slaps, it's like he had the beads. They become very heavy beads because they kind of started snapping back. And he was a little passive-aggressive. I don't even know passive, but he was such a nice guy. He had so much more to do. He really had so much more to do. And I love him. He also had trouble remembering, you know, people's names. Or that was for everybody.
Oh, man.
Everybody. And they were saying the names in your ear, like, you know, you're Bob Hope or something. Like, hey, right. This is, okay, that's Rich Eisen. He's like, Rick. Yes. Tyler, you know, and nobody knew.
But he was Deacon Jones, man. I mean, he's Deacon Jones. I got Tom Arnold here.
I love Deacon Jones so much.
Yeah.
Oh, I love him so
me
much.
Me too.
But he was brilliant. He was brilliant.
So tell me tell me about your pod, Tom.
Listen, man, I have, you know, I live with my kids. I'm a 61-year-old single dad and 7-year-old and 4-year-old. And somebody has to help us here. I have this young assistant. I always say young because I'm old.
Right.
And then she ends up, because of COVID, staying here with me and the kids. And she's great with my kids. We one day I say, let's do a podcast. Nobody's leaving the area here. She did a podcast. She's hilarious. She's a comic. And then what we ended up talking about is our point of view or the comics I like or my career and what's been the influences on her. And, you know, I just talk about these great athletes when I was growing up. You know, the day Al Kaline died. Now, I know that's not. But I just said why he was so important to me. Just guys like that could say they played every day. And they just showed up. And, you know, things like this and that. I talk about, you know, the Chicago Cubs growing up. But I asked one guy, Dave the Ghost Hunter, that was here. And we were talking about how much that meant to us. And Harry Carey and my other buddies, you know, Jack Buck in Southeast Iowa, the announcers, the players, that just meant so much to us. And I asked her if there's anybody like that in her life, and she said, John Mayer. And then I said, and it made me so mad that she would say that. And I said, why? Well, you know, I really felt like he, whatever. And it was so stupid. You know, John Mayer, on the other hand, is a really great guy, does things. But, you know, he doesn't represent the the Chicago Cubs.
Yeah, or Al Kaline, for that matter. I don't even know if he's Al Kaline for sure.
No,
he's not the Al Kaline of musicians. I mean, he's good in his own right, but I don't know.
Yeah,
if I put...
it really got was upset. I mean, I took sure. really. I was scared that I would have to make her leave the house because I thought well, at that moment, I was like scared, like cause I brought somebody that just could, what couldn't even get that I could never speak to again, basically, and we're gonna have a podcast. So we have a lot of fun, and she is a character. All my friends, you know, Tish. You know, I get a call from Tish, and he's like, "Hey, what's hey, that kid's good? Yeah, how are you doing? Good. You, what's the deal? You and Sasha? Sasha's very cute, right? What's the deal? She just I go, yeah, no, she's my assistant. We do the podcast and stuff. Oh, you guys aren't. I go, no, she's 30 years. She's 30 years old. Like I tell him, she's 37 years old. He goes, oh, I didn't think she. Was. So you know, with you being.
Well, I mean, look, Tom. I mean, I know you go way back with your buddy Steve there. And yeah. What'd you think of the Giants opener? What'd you think of the Giants opener?
Hey, let me tell you something, man. Let me tell you something. Mm-hmm. I've seen worse. But, you know,
by the way, you can't. That's let's put it this way. I don't think the Giants are going to make that the slogan for their 2020 team video. You know
what
I mean?
Slogan. Yeah. What's your slogan?
Yeah, Giants 2020 Giants. Hey, we've seen worse. You can't. You know what I mean? Like,
listen, hey, I'm so happy football's back.
Me too, brother.
I was like it. I just thought, you know, and now our Big Ten's coming back. I heard.
Well, I hope so too. Yeah, you're Mr. Iowa. Hey, man, look, I'm really fired up about your pod, Two in the Bush podcast.
Thank you, man. I do watch your show every day.
Good.
You have a TV show, right?
Yes, sir. When they're not cycling, but we're on Peacock. Get Peacock and stream it. It's great. It's amazing.
Okay, I'm doing that. Thanks, Rich. You're the voice of football, you know. Right, you always are.
Yeah, I love you, Tom. You take care of yourself.
I love you guys.
Right back at you.
All right,
you.
Man. Thanks for having me
See
on.
You, buddy.
You
got
it.
That's Tom Arnold, everybody. It's Tom Arnold.
One of a kind.
Hello, everyone. This is Eagles Hall of Fame quarterback Ron Jaworski, and I am so excited to bring you the hottest new podcast for the NFL and gaming. Welcome to Jaws Picks, featuring me, Ron Jaworski, and some of the most famous names in sports, music, and entertainment, as I give you my expert analysis and predictions of each and every NFL game. So far this season, my predictions are over 55% correct
against the spread.
That's a pretty good number, folks. And over 67% picking winners straight up. You do not want to miss out on this podcast. Every week, I will tell you who, how, and why each NFL game will be decided. Take the guesswork and stress out of gaming and subscribe to Jaws Picks wherever you get your podcast. That's Jaws Picks wherever you get your podcast. Stay safe, take care, and let's make some beer money.
Support for this podcast comes from Pluto TV. Need an escape? Drop into Pluto TV for a world of free TV. Stream hundreds of channels and thousands of movies and shows all for free. Yeah, free. No subscriptions, no fees. Imagine 24/7 channels of Narcos, CSI, Star Trek, Survivor, and everything else from hit movies to binge-worthy TV shows, the latest news, live sports, comedy, and more. What are you waiting for? Download the free Pluto TV app for Android, iPhone, Roku, and Fire TV and start streaming now. Pluto TV. Drop in, watch free.
Big weekend as well in the NBA free agency game. I sing this man's praises all the time because he's one of my favorite guests. He's also good people. TJ Jefferson, you were one of those oddly constructed Clipper / Sixer fans because you adopted the Clippers here because your East Coast values forbade you essentially to root for the Lakers.
Can't do it.
But you're a diehard Sixer fan from your days in Altoona, right?
Yes, indeed.
I basically have set it all up. So this man is now in charge, essentially, of all basketball operations for the Philadelphia 76ers, former general manager of the Houston Rockets, good friend of the program, Daryl Morey, here on the Rich Eisen Show. Hi, Daryl.
Hey, thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
Oh, come on, man. All the time. Anytime. You know that. Is it true you just came back from picking up Dwight Howard at the airport, Daryl? Is that true?
That is accurate, yeah. That was awesome. Reunited, man.
Okay, so just in general, pre-pandemic, are you one of those people that picks people up at airports, friends? Is that's in your nature, right? Are you one of those people?
Yeah, it's a nice touch. It's a nice touch. So, yeah, Elton, Brandon, and I went out to greet him, especially because we worked together for 3 years. So,
right.
You know, had a nice conference final run with him, so... It's good to get a champion, a recent champion. It's pretty cool.
Now, obviously, you are what we would call an insider, since you're the guy who's making these deals. But for all of us taking all of this in on Twitter, he tweeted out that he was going back to the Lakers and then deleted it. What was your end of things on that front, Daryl?
Might be better to ask him, but it seemed like there was some miscommunication, which, you know, unfortunately can happen in free agency. There was none from us, though. We were trying to get him to come here the whole time, and you know, I think there was some miscommunication on a higher dollar situation with them, and but we're happy it worked out with us.
So was that one of those things where somebody on your team or just showed you a phone and said, "Hey, Dwight says he's going to the Lakers," and you were kind of calling somebody up to say, "Is this true?" I mean, what was that from your end of things?
Well, we were in constant conversations with the agent, we just checked in with the agent and made sure that
right.
The report was true, and he said no, that was not true. So yeah, different things happen in free agency. There are deals canceled, there are trades canceled, so it gets a little wild and hairy during those times. Lots of deals happening, and they're all verbal, and as you saw with some deals in the past where people were trapped in houses, it was signed on the dotted line. I think free agency can get a little crazy.
Yeah, you're not driving around knocking on doors, huh?
didn't need to. It was nice just with the past relationship with Dwight, and we had always kept it really positive, and the perfect fit. I'm so happy for him. He won his ring last year, and this year, we got I was about to mention the guy in trade, I can't mention, but anyway, we got potentially two champions coming, two recent champions coming, I was really happy for Dwight that he won that ring, and he's looking to do it here in Philly next year.
So you're referring to somebody that you made a trade, an acquisition,
yeah,
but it's not
official?
Yeah, some of them
aren't official right now. He caught me on a slightly not all official yet.
Well,
yeah,
when does that become official? I know who you're referring to.
Yeah, I mean, there might be a trade down the line. I think it's like December 8th or something like that. Just because of the rules, things take a little longer to unfold.
Okay. But TJ Jefferson, our Sixer fan, who's here, he's talking about Danny Green, okay? It's not somebody that hasn't yet been reported, and I don't want to get this man in any more trouble.
So it's not okay? Anthony Davis, is
no, no, stop it. Oh. Stop
TJ, I'm glad we have the Sixer fan.
Yes.
Quietly influencing Rich. It's great.
Well, look, I mean, the reported deals then, Horford for Green and Terrence Ferguson and Josh Richardson for Curry, and then obviously
For Curry, I can talk
you
about.
You can talk about. Okay.
We're real excited for Seth to join the team. Obviously, arguably the best shooter in the NBA, and those are pretty hard to get. And, we were just thrilled, and obviously Doc's son-in-law, which
yes.
is sort of a cool twist, and so overall a really fun addition with Seth.
Now, in terms of these moves, Daryl, I mean, is this part of what when you were talking to ownership about whether this was a match for you to come aboard, and for them whether you were a match for them, et cetera? Is this all part of like, hey, look, this is what I want to do in terms of trading this guy to get this off the books, and we're going to try and target that guy? Now, obviously, you have to have, the execution of it go your way and so on and so forth. But is this all like part of what you planned coming in, and this is the plan coming together, A-team style in a way?
Yeah, not really. The stuff with the Sixers was a whirlwind after I stepped down, similar to Doc. I mean, Doc and Elton and ownership were, very. It was cool. I mean, they reached out immediately and were aggressive. And because you don't really know what trades are possible when you're, interviewing like 2 days after, a couple of days after you step down. There isn't really. It would be very presumptive to know what a roster would need, and you also don't know what trades are coming. So. Now, that was really about track record. I had worked with Doc before, obviously had some success in Houston, and that was really more about that than anything planned on the roster.
So when you stepped down, you had no plans to go take another gig anywhere?
I mean, I was hopeful that someone would call, but I thought it was going to take at least a year because, you know, it was so close to the season. You know, usually these kinds of transition happen quite a bit before the draft. You know, the draft was only a few days away, and so I just figured I'd be sitting out at least a year and then evaluating options. So it was pretty cool that you know, a couple NBA teams, NFL team, a baseball team, a couple places reached out. So that was you know, Rich, because you've made transitions. Sometimes you just don't know, right? You know, you hope that there's something out there, but you don't know. So
okay, Daryl, you had me at NFL team. What are you talking about? An NFL team reached out to you?
Yeah, they did, actually. Yeah, I told them I probably don't know enough. I'll be honest, Rich, you and I have talked about this, that I think the NFL, I mean, it would be very presumptive for me to think I could help an NFL team, but they did reach out, and I just figure my skills are just much higher and better in the NBA, just with the experience and everything, but it was an intriguing idea.
Well, for what role? To be a general manager and run a team? That was the role?
Yeah, that would have been it, yeah.
Wow. For an NFL team, did that even make you...
I mean, to be fair to them, they didn't offer it. They just reached out to talk.
Just to see what's going...
So they could have met with me, said, that guy's an idiot, and moved
no,
on.
No, I hear you. But just yeah, to say, hey, yeah, maybe you could bring... Now, then let me ask you this. I'm going to totally go off the reservation here on Daryl.
Sure.
Since you mentioned a baseball team, what do you think of the move of the Tampa Bay Rays and Kevin Cash removing Blake Snell? Purely on what appeared to be analytics. What did you think about that maneuver?
I mean, I feel like I did work in baseball, so baseball would have been a better fit, although honestly, right, there's so many well-run teams. I was intimidated that I could actually help a baseball team. Last time I worked in baseball was 1996. So, but yeah, so I didn't really dive into that. I would say if their plan was to handle things a certain way, and the plan was, you know, and that plan was still relevant so close to winning the title or not. I mean, I generally stick to the plan. I actually had a funny moment here at the Sixers before the draft, the day of the draft, actually, and we had put together our pick list. And one of the staff members here, who I'm getting to know, was like, so what do you do on draft day? Do you follow your pick list? And I was like, what? He's like, yeah, do you follow the list that we've put together? I was like, what do other people do? I was like, why do we put all this work into it if we don't follow it? He's like, oh, this team I worked at, we had all that, but then he just ignored it and did whatever on the day. And I'm like, yeah, no, that's not going to be what we do. So if that's their plan, they should stick to what got them there. That would be my sense.
Well, I mean, again, and you're a perfect person to ask about this since you are so closely tied at the hip about with analytics in the 21st century and how it plays into wins and losses. But the concept of essentially being so married to it that a gut and a feel moment from your management team on the field actually adjudicating the game and your plan that just goes out the window.
Yeah, I mean, Rich, I don't want to oversimplify, but let's say you're in blackjack and you're not counting cards, even though that's the right thing to do, and you just get a gut feel after four drinks that this is going to be the time I need to hit on 16 and hope for a five. Yeah, no, you don't do it. You don't hit. You know, I think if they, you know, Tampa Bay, as far as I know, is one of the best run baseball teams in Major League Baseball. I think that's pretty clear. And if they looked at it and they thought that, you know, that was the right choice, I would be really surprised if they didn't follow it. You know, if they didn't follow their plan, they don't get to the World Series and get criticized. I'd rather get to the World Series, get criticized for following the plan, than deviate from the plan and lose, you know, earlier.
Daryl Morey, president of basketball operations of the Philadelphia 76ers, here on the Rich Eisen Show. If I had told you that you would at one point try and finish the process that Sam Hinkie started, what would you have said to me?
It just was not on the list of things I would have guessed what happened. But, you know, I'm thrilled. Obviously, you know, he's, you know, we directly or indirectly have Joel and Ben because of that approach. And I'm eternally grateful. You know, normally, as you know, Rich, it's the coaches who get nailed, and everyone says, "Hey, do this rebuilding, and you'll be there at the end." It's usually the coaches who suffer from that. In this case, it was the GM, and you know, I'm here benefiting from it, so I'm pretty happy we have Joel and Ben right now.
Okay, and these are your two guys. Is there any thought at all of breaking these two guys up to bring in maybe a superstar that you think would fit the process better?
No, as I think Sam recently said very well, someone asked him that. He emerged from his groundhog hole to talk. That's every like 3 years Sam emerges to talk. And he said, "Man, we put so much into getting Joel and Ben here. Why would we move on ever?"
So you think they can play together? Because that's
absolutely
been the big...
Okay. Absolutely.
Why do you think that? How does that work?
Well, I mean, just recent evidence, when you put shooting around Ben and Joel, they were literally the best lineup in the league. And I'm not talking like, you know, they played 50 minutes together. They were playing thousands of minutes together with shooting, and were the best lineup in the league. Now, of course, we've got to prove that, you know, that this group can do it, and that, you know, that this group is good enough to win the title. We have to prove that. But for sure, in the past, when you had shooting around those two, it worked very effectively.
How much more should we expect of your additions or subtractions from this roster between now and ball tip on the 22nd of December?
Not much. I mean, again, and I talked about this in my opening presser, that I think, yeah, there's some things when you look at the roster, you say maybe we need to do some slightly different things, maybe. But with Doc coaching this group, and he loves it and is comfortable with where we're at, you know, there's just going to be a lot of learning, especially at the start of the season. And if we use our bullets, whether it be our tax mid-level or draft picks, to address what we think the gaps are, you know, we could use our bullets early when later we're gonna see where the gaps are much more. Yeah, they'll be much clearer, and we'll be able to address them that way. So, yeah, I don't see many changes from here till tip.
Couple of minutes left with Daryl Morey, president of basketball operations of the Philadelphia 76ers. Let's talking purely hypothetical. Let's just say a team that you know, that you used to be part of had two superstar players that you put together on that team, and then after your departure and the coach's departure, they reportedly didn't want to play there anymore. Would that hypothetical situation surprise you in any way, shape, or form, Daryl?
Let's talk about other hypothetical situations, like
Well, I didn't say one of them.
Until Trump concedes or something.
I didn't want to. You know, say one of them had a long beard or anything like that. You know, I just wanted to just throw that out to you, Daryl.
Yeah, let's talk about what TJ wants to talk about.
All right, you got a question?
I do have a question.
Okay, you always ask good questions before you send Daryl out the door.
Hey, Daryl, how you doing, man? Welcome
to
Philly.
Hey, what's up, man?
So, question. You are president of basketball ops, and Elton Brand is the GM. I'm just kind of wondering how you two work together and what that synergy is like with those two positions.
Yeah, so, I mean, the whole group, including Elton and I, just got thrown into the deep end, and hopefully we're doing all right. So that'll evolve over time. But, you know, I think one reason that I think there's now five or six teams, you know, with former Houston Rockets folks running them, I give a lot of responsibility to the people around me, and Elton's going to have a lot of that, and I have a lot of faith in him. And the fact that he wanted to join forces with me is still something I'll always remember. And, you know, it's great. I'm excited. So, you know, he's going to be doing a lot of the calls, a lot of the analysis, and we're going to be working together with, you know, he actually brought in a couple other guys that are really strong, and Prosper and Peter Dinwiddie. And, you know, it's a strong group. I think I learned pretty quickly this is a group we can work with.
I love Doc too, man.
That's
you
awesome.
Guys got a great setup there, Daryl.
Doc as well. Yeah, I think he was talking front office, but yeah, Doc is just a treasure that I get to work with him again.
Top notch people there, man.
You know,
top notch. And Daryl, I'm out here on the West Coast.
Josh Harris and David Blitzer, credit. I mean, they're you know, they were like, we're doing this, you know, so that's pretty cool.
So, Daryl, I guess, does Elton sit shotgun and you drive to the airport, or how does that work?
Because I don't drive, you know that, right?
What? I didn't know that. You do not drive, Daryl? Are you serious?
Not really, yeah. I'm on my phone too much, and I'm just too dangerous. So I've decided
safety first.
I don't drive very much.
Look, you just refuse to be hands-free is basically what you're saying. You just refuse, you know, you're hands-on but hands-free.
I just refuse to endanger people. That's my
You're a good man. Daryl, I'm so excited that you're in a great spot. You seem to be in a great spot with some great talent and a fan base that is thirsty, to say the least. So thanks for the call. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, TJ. Appreciate
thanks,
the
Daryl.
Time.
You got it.
Thanks.
You take care. That's Daryl Morey, everybody, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. The good man, president of basketball operations, Philadelphia 76ers.
Feel good.
Let me throw some darts at a board. Let me throw darts at a board. I'm going to throw a dart at the board.
Fire emoji? Should I get this ready?
No, I'm going to take a dart. Bullseye. Atlanta Falcons.
You think that was the one?
My boy Thomas Dimitroff is who has a GM opening?
Houston.
Ooh. Huh.
What
even have to sell his house?
You
guys aren't thinking.
Interesting.
Could you imagine? Guy's so smart.
So smart.
But how about that? He just equated not sticking with your analytics in a World Series game in your plan. He equated that to being drunk and playing blackjack and hoping that this is the time the five's going to come out when you got 16.
I know someone who plays like that.
TJ Jefferson?
It annoys Brockman in no end.
It annoys me to no end.
Well, you better not
play by the book.
Don't
sit at my table.
Do not sit at third base
exactly.
At my table. Are you serious? He's like hitting 14s and stuff.
In
like
my
that?
Defense, it's just
he's
like
he's got a gut feeling, Rich.
It's on 17.
In my defense, it's only like when we used to sit around when we could actually sit next to each other and play blackjack after work.
By the way, it was for real hypothetical money.
That's why I wanted to ask him. As you know, he's Mr. MIT. He's Mr. Analytics. And so he's got a plan for everything. He like knows exactly where the toes are compared to the three-point line based in the third quarter of a game that's three possessions.
That's bananas.
You know, like, that's him.
Yeah.
So that's why I kind of like, okay, let me ask you the question that was the conversation that was red hot last month, which is Kevin Cash taking his starter out in a game 6 of a World Series just because it was the third time through the lineup, just because it was time to do it based on every single time that they've done it.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just like, yeah, the plan is this. The plan is it usually works. The numbers say it works. The numbers say it is the time to do it, regardless of the situation and how big the game is. And he equated it to being at a blackjack table and drunk and saying, this is the time to go and hit on 16.
Yeah.
You're gonna hit that once.
Let's just say you're not counting cards, even though that's what you should be doing. I love Daryl Morey.
I love that part. He ended with that. Like, even though you should be counting.
You should be
Daryl
counting cards.
Morey. God, I do. Do I want to go to pandemic's over? We're going. Daryl Morey, let's go to Vegas. Let's go to Vegas.
With Daryl.
And it's some and we'll you can
don't tease me with a good
we
time.
We can start looking for Daryl Morey on a mattress on the top of the casino a day later.
Don't tease me with a good time.
Wow.
Yeah, man.
I can't wait to go back to
fantastic.
You know, Rich, I wanted to let Daryl know, you know, I'm out here. We only on the show a few hours a day. I got a lot of time and I watch a lot of basketball. If the Sixers need like a West Coast scout, I go look at the Lakers for him. I go look at the Warriors,
hey,
you
man,
know, the Suns. Whatever you need, Daryl, I'm going to text you after the show.
All I know is one of the long time scouts of the Boston Celtics was Al Lewis, who played Grandpa Munster. So if Grandpa Munster could be a top-notch scout, TJ. I don't know why TJ Jefferson.
That blew me away when you told me that.
That's a fact. Let's take a break. We'll be back here with your phone calls and then also Overreaction Monday, and also still to come, my take on why Wentz is still in and why Tua was taken out.